Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll, Lord, bless the preaching, teaching of your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord. And dear God, as we go back to the book of Genesis, get a start here, this wonderful book that teaches us your original intent. And Lord, as we build upon this foundation tonight, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, just to be better for you, Lord. Protect the families, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Protect the marriages, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, protect our young people. May they be raised, dear God, with a biblical concept of marriage and the home. Lord, not humanistic, not what the world is doing. May we get back to the Bible, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Last Wednesday night, we taught on this subject, the five great needs of every wife. The five great needs of every wife. I would encourage any of the men in here, if you were not in that service, and we have people that serve and master's clubs in different capacities. Some folks, honestly, because of their work schedules, can't be here on Wednesday night. Men, I'm asking you, please, to go on our website and to listen to that message. If you don't have access to that, if you'll see Brother Klein after the service, you can get the CD. And I mean this, it ought not be the message that you hear once and just lay aside and forget. I would listen to that and listen to it and listen to it, okay? Because there's a lot of ladies, honestly, married ladies, that are frustrated. And it's because that we as men do not understand. We're not taking the time to understand. We're not taking the time to identify the needs of their life. And that'll be a great help to you as a husband, I think, to be able to do what I think every good husband wants to do, meet the needs of their wife. And so five great needs of every wife tonight. We're going to teach on this subject, the five great needs of every husband. Five great needs of every husband. It is not just wife that have needs, it's men that have needs too, and husbands that have needs. I told my wife there's a part of me that wants to just get up because, I can be honest with you, I'm kind of tough on men. I think men ought to be men. And the five great needs of a husband, I'm just going to change the title to the one great need. Go home, tough it out, stop being so needy. All right, get over yourself. Guess what? It's not about you. I mean, that's honestly what I want to preach. But my wife said, "You're just afraid to admit that men are mortal." And I said, "Well, that might have something to do with it." But the Bible teaches us that men also do have needs. And the five great needs of every husband. I think every good wife wants to meet the needs of her husband. I think every good husband wants to meet the needs of their wife. And I know this, God has not left us clueless. The Bible teaches us some things that I think will help strengthen every marriage, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so I'm going to get right into the teaching tonight, the five great needs of every husband. Number one, every husband needs a helpmeet, a helpmeet. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." That word help and meets, two separate words. They come together to produce the idea of a completer, of being a completer. What does it mean to be a helpmeet? Well, the Lord and our Creator created man, and he looked down. Man was in the garden alone, and he said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And I know I kind of kid about this, but I know God in his greatness and wisdom knew what he was going to do. But if he did not know that, he would have noticed very quickly that man needs help. Amen. It is not good for man to be alone. He probably watched for a while and said, "If I leave him alone like that, it's not going to be good. He definitely needs a helper." And so every man, every husband needs their wife to be a helpmeet to them. Now, what does that mean to be a helpmeet? Well, the Bible says it is not good for that the man should be alone. So first of all, the helpmeet provides companionship. And ladies, when you are a good helpmeet to your husband, you're a good companion, somebody for him to talk to, somebody for him to spend time with, somebody for him to, at the end of the day, just sit down and tell what happened during the day. And you talk to our widows and our widowers in our church, and if you, and I have, I've asked them this, what's the hardest part of being alone? They said just, most of them will say this, just not having somebody at the end of the day to sit down and share things with. And so God seen that we had a basic need. You know, Adam would go out and his job was to dress the garden and protect the garden. And you know what? So he'd be busy all day doing what he needed to do. And when he got done, he stopped and he looked around. He looked at that and he said, you know what? I think that looks pretty good. I think it looks pretty good. I think, and he's looking around, there's nobody to say, that does look pretty good. And so what does a helpmeet do? A helpmeet provides companionship that just says, I'm here for you. A helpmeet provides support. Watch this, ladies, if you'll learn this, you'll learn a lot. I believe in you. I believe in you. I'm here for you. And by the way, I believe in you. And you know what? A helpmeet provides some of this. Amen? Hey, that's a good job. Most men, when they do something, ladies, you know what they want to do? They want to go find you, and then they want to say, hey, come out here. I want you to see what I've done. And you know, and you've got an opportunity then to either make their day or run their day. And so be a good helpmeet, all right? I'm here for you. I just enjoy being with you. I believe in you. Every man needs a cheerleader. Every husband needs a cheerleader. Just says, you know what? When a man comes home and I'm thinking about doing this, and be honest with you, I'm not sure if I could. You can do it. I believe in you. And then when they do something and it works and it's done well, just to somebody that says, you know what? Watch this. You're awesome. You're amazing. All right, ladies, you don't look enthused. All right, we need to practice that. All right. All the ladies together, ready? One, two, let's see, you're awesome, okay? One, two, three. You're awesome. Oh, there you go. All right, that was pretty weak though. All right, let's try it again. One, you got a little more excitement. All right, one, two, three.
You're awesome.
All right, yeah, there you go. Okay, don't worry, God will forgive you for lying. It'll work, all right. A man needs that. If you don't want to spend time with him, if you're constantly sending signals that you don't believe in him, if everything that he does, you criticize it instead of applaud it, then you are not fulfilling the reason God put you on this earth. And you need to learn to be a helpmeet to your husband. So number one, every husband needs a helpmeet. Number two, go to Titus chapter number two. Titus chapter number two. In Titus chapter 2, if you'll look at verse number 3 and 4, Titus 2, verse 3 and 4, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Number one, a husband needs a helpmeet. Number two, a husband needs love. Say, preacher, that was one of the points on Wednesday night. Can I just say something? Watch this. Everybody needs love. Everybody needs love. I encouraged you on Wednesday night. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point. I encourage you men on Wednesday night. Why don't you do what I asked our teenagers to do? Why don't you do a study on the word love? I mean, from Genesis to Revelation. I'm talking about the time to look up the verses and write it out and understand what real, true Bible agape love is. Let me say this, ladies, I'd like you to do the same thing. Wouldn't it be awesome if all the teenagers in the church decided that they'd just do a study on love? Watch this, just because the preacher asked them to. Wouldn't it be neat if all of the men said, I'm going to go home and make sure that what I say is love and what I think is love, what the type of love I'm showing my wife is a Bible love, and just decided they'd go home and do this study. And then wouldn't it be neat if all of the ladies and all the wives of the church said, well, yeah, I'm not going to get left out of this. And so I can find a concordance and I can figure out how to do this. And I'm going to study all of the places in the Bible. I wonder if all of us did that, if that might have an effect at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I wonder if that might revolutionize Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The Bible says here that the aged women are given this responsibility the aged women in verse 3, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Let me say a word to our older ladies that have been married for a time. You know what? You, through both life and lip, both by what you say and the example you give, should be teaching the young women, the young wives, to love their husbands. To love their husbands. You should be an example of that. Example of that, okay? And so the responsibility is given to you. It's not given to the pastor to teach the young women to love their husbands. It's not given to the men of the church to teach the young women to love their husbands. It's not even given to the husbands in the church to teach the young women to love their husbands. You know what the responsibility is given? To the elder ladies in our church, the aged ladies in our church. And if you're standing up or during opening assembly, raising your hand and saying we've been married for 20 or 25 or 30 or 35 years, you know what? Every young lady, every young wife in this church ought to be able to look over at you and learn just by watching how you talk about your husband, what you do for your husband, the respect that you show your husband. They should be able to learn about marriage and about what a proper marriage should be. And so every husband needs love. They need love, okay? I'm not going to go into this. If we were at a couple's retreat, I would. We're not going to go into this. This isn't just an agape love. This is a love that has to do with intimacy. You know what? You should be loving to your husband. You should be affectionate to your husband. Listen, don't become a cold fish. All right? Be somebody that he's glad to see at the end of the day. You never outgrow hugs and kisses. All right? It ought to be a natural, normal thing to hold hands. All right? Some of these young people are saying, please move on. Very serious. I'm very serious about this, okay? Because they need love. Men, you know what encourages a man? You know what a man responds to? Watch this. Femininity. Okay? Your husband does not need you to become masculine. He doesn't need a man. He needs a woman. He doesn't need somebody that's wanting to trade roles with him. He needs somebody that wants to fulfill her role. Okay? Masculinity responds to femininity. Okay, so you know what he needs? He needs love. So he needs a helpmeet. He needs love. You go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you will, look at verse number 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 33. God made Eve to be a helpmeet to Adam. She is there to provide companionship and support and, yes, to be his cheerleader, applause. She's not there to avoid him, to undermine him, or to criticize him. If you're doing that, you're not being a proper helpmeet. He needs love. Number three, five great needs of every husband. This is so important. Maybe I should have listed it as number one. He needs respect. He needs respect. Look at verse number 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she, does it say love? Kind of interesting in this verse. Gentlemen, probably number one thing that your wife needs above any other thing is love. Let me say this, ladies. That's not the number one thing men need. Now, do we need to be loved? Yes. But isn't it interesting when this verse, when God had every opportunity to mirror the same sentiment to the wife, he chose not to do it. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she, what's that word? Reverence. Ladies, as important as love is to you, and that your husband express love to you, and that he makes you feel loved, to that same level of importance for a man, it's important that he believes that you respect him. A man would rather, I'm telling you, a man, if given a choice, would rather be respected than loved. If you cease to respect your husband and show respect to your husband, you hurt him in a way and destroy him in a way that is horrible. I mean, it's almost unfixable. Well, it is. You can stop it and start showing respect. You see, a man needs respect. He needs the respect and reverence. Does the Bible say reverence there? Yeah, reverence. Reverence. That word, of course, talking about respect. If a man feels like he's lost the respect of his wife, I mean, why go on? Why go on? You know what? Ladies, please, be respectful to your husband. That means don't put him down. That means don't criticize him. That means don't run him down. Okay, in the way that you talk to him, in the tone that you talk to him. Okay? All right, he's not your child. He's not somebody you need to be hollering at or dressing down. Excuse me? Excuse me? Okay? Well, he takes it. Well, he might take it. But you're doing damage that you do not even understand. Okay? He needs to be respected. And wives, let me say this. He doesn't just need to be respected by you. He needs to be respected by the children. Listen, a man, when he comes home, he wants to walk in the door and know that he has the respect of his wife. That his wife is teaching his children to look up to him. That she is building him up in the eyes of the children, not tearing him down. If you don't respect your husband, and if you're disrespectful to your husband, your children are learning from that. Okay? And they don't just learn from your words. They learn from your actions. They learn from your body language. Well, he's not everything he ought to be. Well, are you? If you're not respecting him, I can tell you this, you're not. Okay? You start showing respect to your husband, you'll be surprised at how hard he works to living up to that. A man wants to be respected almost above any other thing. I want to just kind of give a side note here. You know what? Ladies, listen to me. A man, and God did this, he set it up in Genesis, original intent is this. A man, it's in his heart to provide for his family. Now, let me tell you again, and I don't care if this sounds old-fashioned or not, it needs to be taught. You know what? You're going to have a problem in a marriage if you've got a situation where the woman becomes the primary breadwinner instead of the man. You're going to have a problem, okay? I think one of the reasons that God gives the assignment, we're going to talk about this in one of the other points, for the woman to be a keeper at home is because, you know what? One of the ways a man gains the respect of his wife and his family is that he provides for them. Okay? And, of course, the world's got it turned around and upside down. Many times we have a woman making more money in the household than a man, and next thing you know, with that comes an attitude in that woman. Well, I make more money than you do. Well, you couldn't even pay the bills if it wasn't for me. Do you know what you just did to your husband? Do you know what you did? Well, but I have to work. No, you choose to work. You choose to work. I know there's rare instances where a man physically, because of some type of a problem, an accident, a disease, there's something that happens where a man's not able to. And sometimes a wife has to go to work. But I'm going to tell you even that, that's hard for a man. That's hard for a man. If you use that as a way to begin to disrespect him, you know what? You're going to kill something in that man. Now listen to me. Ladies, I want you to listen to your tone. The tone of your voice. Don't be disrespectful in the way that you talk to your husband. Don't be disrespectful in the way that you address him. Don't talk him down when he's not there in front of the children. Okay? Well, my husband's working, and he's trying, but he just doesn't make a whole lot. Then you make what he does make work. You tell him, you know what, I know you're doing the best you can, and don't you worry about it. You go out and do the best you can, and we'll make it work. Because a man's got to have respect. Okay? Don't miss that. I wish I could assign this. And by the way, I talked about this same thing with the men on Wednesday night. This matter of, if I could just get every married couple in this room for the next couple weeks to listen to how you communicate to each other. I'm not sure that you shouldn't be assigned to wear a recorder of some kind and listen back to every conversation and every way and all of the tone that you have one to another. There's married couples that do nothing. They just bite and devour and hurt each other with their words. Stop it. Husbands, if you truly love your wives, that's going to be reflected in how you speak to her. Wives, if you respect your husband, then that's going to be evident in how the tone you take. He's not your child. You should never be talking down to him. He's not yours to rebuke. He's not yours to straighten out. Okay? And so here we see that a man above everything else needs respect. All right? Number four. Let me go. We're right there in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look over to verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Last Wednesday night, I challenged men when it came to verse number 25. I said, we are told to love our wives. And here's the standard. Here's what we're to shoot for. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And I said, what a high standard to hold us to. How much does Jesus love the church? How much does Jesus love us? Listen to me. There's a similar standard that is presented to every single wife. And that's this. Not in the area of love, but in the area of submission. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. How about this? As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as, wait, we have Christ in the church again? Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay, you say, preacher, good night. In this day and age, nobody preaches out of those verses. Shame on us. Shame on us preachers if nobody's preaching out of these verses. Because this portion of Scripture, what it does is it exposes the majority of the problems in marriages today. Is there a power struggle in your marriage? Ma'am, you need to answer that question. Well, no, there's not a power struggle in my marriage. He gave up a long time ago. Let me say this. I pity you. Amen. I had a man tell me not too long ago, he looked at me and says, you know what? No matter what I come home and set as a standard for our house or set as a rule for our house, my wife will always go behind me and undermine that and change it and sometimes challenge it right in front of the children. Whew. Wow. Let me have you go over to 1 Timothy. I want to show you something. Well, preacher, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand why God put the man as the leader in the home. I don't know why God says that we as wives have to submit to our husbands. Well, God made man to lead. He made him to be a leader. And when you take that from him, again, you destroy something very basic that's inside of a man. It's been created inside of a man. Look, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter. I don't understand why. Well, I'm going to let the Bible tell you why. Have you got your seatbelt on? Can you take it? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Let me tell you an epidemic that's happening in our area, right here in our own community. There's an epidemic of churches calling women to be pastors. It is absolutely 100% unbiblical. Somebody stopped by the office the other day, and I don't get the Sullivan paper, and they laid a copy of the Sullivan paper in front of me, and there was an article on the religious page, and it was an article attacking the King James Bible. An entire article talking about down the King James Bible, criticizing churches that insist on using just the King James Bible. Guess what? It was written by a woman preacher. You know why she doesn't like the King James Bible? Go find some of these newer versions, the most liberal versions. See how much these verses have been changed in those Bibles. Her problem's not with the King James Bible. Her problem's with God. How dare God tells me that I'm supposed to learn in silence? How dare God tells me that I'm, by the way, when it says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, notice, comma, nor to usurp authority over the man. It's not saying women can't teach. We have women teachers. You know what? They can teach other women or they can teach children, but they're not to usurp authority over a man. There's a reason when our young people get up to a certain age, we start splitting them up. And we have ladies teaching the young ladies and men teaching the young men. We do that because of the Word of God, because of the principles of the Bible, okay? We're not going to have ladies teaching our men in any format, in any way. Why? Because it's unbiblical. In case you didn't hear that, women preachers are unbiblical. Amen. Unbiblical, okay? Now, the Bible says this, but I want you to understand that what the Bible is talking about here, when it says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. The next verse begins to talk about a married couple. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Oh, preacher, I don't get this whole thing about why women can't teach men and why women are supposed to learn in silence and why women are supposed to be in submission to their husband. The Bible gives you two reasons, all right? Number one, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. You know what? Just by creation order, God saw to it that the man came first, then the woman. The man is there to lead. The woman is there to follow. The man was given the garden. He was given the rules of the garden. He was given instruction to keep the garden and to protect the garden and to work in the garden. And then he was given a helpmeet to give him companionship, okay, to give him support, okay, and to be his cheerleader and help him to be successful in what God had called him to do. It's God's divine purpose. It's God's original intent. God made man to lead. God made man to work. God made man to provide. God made man to be a partaker. It's in us. Our Creator put it there. He created a woman to come alongside us and to complete us and help us and cheerlead us and support us in what God has called us to do. It's God's divine order. But there's another reason found in the next verse. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now, let's talk about that a minute, all right? Well, preacher, I don't let my husband make a lot of decisions. I just feel like that I'm better at that. I'm wiser. I'm smarter. I'm better equipped to make decisions than he is. What you just stated is absolutely unbiblical. Let me help you with something. No, you're not. For every woman in here that has got themselves up and placed themselves on a pedestal where you think you are wiser and better equipped to make the decisions, the final decisions in your home, rather than your husband, you have been deceived. You've been deceived. God said, going to take this first couple and I'm going to put them together. I'm going to put them in the garden. Okay? And I'm going to give Adam the responsibilities of protecting that situation, watching over that situation. He's going to have the rules. He's going to be in charge. So what did the devil do? He did an end around the one that was placed as the leader. And instead of going through the leader, he went to the woman. And you know what? Listen to me, ladies. You are made differently than your husband. Okay? I'm not talking about just physically. I'm talking about emotionally. I'm talking about mentally. You are made differently. You are made specifically to be extremely successful in what God created you to be. But he did not create you to lead. He did not create you to lead your home. He did not create you to lead the church. And you know what? When Satan, in the form of a serpent, went to Eve, he was able to easily, with a very short conversation, deceive her into making a decision that plunged mankind into sin. The Bible says that Adam also took of the fruit. But the Bible tells us here that Adam didn't do it because he was deceived. Are you listening to me? I want you to put your thinking caps on, okay? Okay, he didn't show up there and the devil say, hey, I'm going to use the same tactic on him. I'll just tell him the same story, the same pack of lies, and I'll not only trick his wife, I'll trick him. I don't know all that happened there. But when Adam came and there was Eve and she had the forbidden fruit and she'd eaten it, the Bible says she gave it also to her husband. And the Bible says, and he did eat. He ate not because he was deceived. I'm not sure all the conversation that took place. Maybe it was like, what did you do? Did you not hear God what he said? Don't you know that when we eat of that tree, we're going to die? I mean, that's disobedience. That's sin. What have you done? And the devil didn't even try to convince Adam to take of the fruit. All right, gentlemen, why did Adam do it then? Because he loved her. Now think about this. Watch this. I want you ladies to get this. I want you to get it. And by the way, what you do with it, because I'm about to tell you, you have a power when it comes to your husband. And you can take that power and use it for evil. You can take that power and use it for good. But you have a power. Your husband loves you. And you know what? Even though he knew the consequences and he knew the wrongness of the action, he said, you know what? This sin, this action she took is going to cause a separation between her and God and her and me. Watch this, ladies. I hope you're listening. So Adam chose, rather than to be separated from his wife, to do something, not because he was deceived, but because he loved her. Okay? And you want to be the one that makes the final decision in your home. Okay? There's so many instincts. There's the maternal instinct. Men don't have the maternal instinct. Are you listening to me? There's more emotion in a woman than man. Sometimes we can seem kind of cold and calculated, but all right. Okay, you can get all upset and in a moment of emotion make a decision to take your family out of the will of God. You ought to be glad your husband steps in at that time and says, this is not right. We shouldn't be doing this. I don't care what you think. You know what? You don't understand. And I'm not going to keep doing this. And you cry and bawl and cry and bawl. And you know what? He'll take the apple and eat it with you. Because you just usurped authority over him. He didn't make the final decision. Okay? I've watched a lot of people, I'll just say this, watched a lot of people. When Dad was pastor, when I was pastor, I watched a lot of people leave the will of God. 99% of the time, the husband bites the apple that the wife hands to him. Okay? Please listen to what I'm saying here. Okay? Ladies, I'm glad you're willing to give him an apple. Just make sure you're picking it off the right tree. There was all kinds of trees in that garden. There was a lot of them that was good. There was a lot of them they could join together on. Now, please listen to what I'm going to have to say, what I'm going to say here, because I don't know why. Well, I do. Rebellion's as the sin of witchcraft. It seems like any time God puts an order in the Bible, there's somebody that's going to rebel against that order. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know what? Kids nowadays want to disobey their parents. Okay, they rise up against that authority. Wives, submit unto yourselves and to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And wives nowadays are raising up against that authority. Well, I know just as much as he does, and I can make better decisions, and I ought to have the final say. Ma'am, you will be 100 times more easily deceived by Satan in making wrong decisions than your husband ever will be. Now, I want you to take a real deep breath and let that soak in. Stop bucking up against your husband's authority in the home. Stop pushing back against your husband's authority in the home. Start listening to your husband. Okay? I want you to look again in verse number 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. I want to ask you a question. You have to answer this in your heart before God. Are you guilty of usurping the authority of your home from your husband? Are you guilty of that? That needs to get fixed. You know what a man cannot long deal with? And by the way, shouldn't. He's not made to follow, he's made to lead. Okay? I mean, has your husband just now got to the point where he doesn't even argue back with you, and so you think that the marriage is good because you make all the decisions and you boss and you tell and you dictate and you blow up and you scream, and then he runs around and has to do everything he can to make you happy and fix the damage and stop it. Stop it. Okay? A need for your husband is this. Lord, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? And the Lord says, you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to go here. And so he says, the Lord told me, honey, we're supposed to go here, and we're supposed to do this. And so we're going to do that. And he takes off, and you know what he wants? He wants his wife to walk right beside him, being his cheerleader, his supporter, his helpmeet. His helpmeet. And if every time he does this and he turns around to hear it, pretty soon, well, I don't know why my husband's not spiritual. Why should he go to God? Why should he pray? And by the way, man, I'm not making excuses for us, but I have watched a lot of men just give up spiritually. You know why? Because every time God gives him some direction, every time God gives him a purpose, every time God speaks to his heart about something, he's got to walk over and get a permission slip signed by his wife before he's allowed to do it. Now, gentlemen, look up here. You make sure that what you're getting is from the Lord. I'm not saying this to put men on a power trip. This ought not to make us proud. This ought to make us humble. The entire destiny of my family falls on my shoulders. And if I turn around and I've got a sweet wife that says, honey, if you've prayed about it and this you know is of God, then I'm going to follow you 100%. Then woe is me if I were to make a decision to take my wife or my children out of the perfect will of God for their life. Now listen, folks, this is... flies in the face of everything that's being taught in this culture. I mean, I have had preachers say, I wouldn't have touched, I've had them say this to me, I wouldn't touch Ephesians chapter 5 with a 10-foot pole. And I say, shame on you. This has become a generational sin in some families. All right. Daughters raised under a mom where the mom bosses and the husband submits, and boys being raised under a mom and dad where the wife bosses and the husband submits, and the boys grow up thinking that's what a normal marriage is, and the girl thinks up, well, you know what, good night, the one thing I'm going to do when I get married, one thing I know I'm going to do is I'm going to establish right from the beginning who's in charge. And so they start into another marriage with that generational sin, and soon they have children, and those children pretty soon are watching mom boss and daddy submit, and mom tell what's going to happen, and mom lay down the rules. And when dad rises up every once in a while because of a message like this and tries to take back his position, man alive, World War III breaks out. And because he loves his wife, he just finally says, okay. But I'm telling you, you're hurting your husband in ways you don't even understand. I want to say this, okay, and then we'll go on to get the last point. Ma'am, do you owe your husband an apology? I don't care if you've been married 3 months or 30 years. There's ladies in this church that need to go home and put the kids to bed and look their husband in the eye and say, I am sorry. I'm not doing that anymore. Amen? Amen. Number 5, go to Titus chapter 2. We'll go back there. Titus chapter 2. We talked about the aged women and their responsibility to set the right example. I need, by the way, you older ladies to be setting the right example in what I've just talked about. Amen? Okay? By the way, look right up here. I'll help you. That lady right over there would be a good one to start watching. Amen. I am blessed. I am blessed. Okay? Start putting your eyes on the ladies that, listen, some of you think submission is weakness. It takes more strength to be submissive than it does to be an old bossy battle axe. It takes more godliness. It takes more character. It takes more Christianity. Okay, stop setting those women that are doing that up as your heroes and your example. Start looking around for ladies in our church that are setting the right example. Okay, Titus chapter 2, we talk about the aged women. Verse number 5, they're to teach them some other things, to be discreet, chaste. Here's the last thought, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Keepers at home. Now, there's several things that I think a man needs. I'm going to call these the 5 great needs. He needs a helpmeet. He needs to find him a wife that's there to be with him, loves to be with him, supports him, I believe in you, applauds him as he's trying to do the will of God. He needs to know that she loves him. He needs affection and tenderness and femininity. He needs respect to know that his wife respects him, trusts him. Children being raised, respecting him and trusting him. He needs a wife that's willing to follow him, to be in submission, to lean on him and depend on him. Number 5, he likes to come home to a wife that knows what it is to be a keeper at home. Listen, men aren't really all that complicated. We like food. Amen. Good food. We like good food. You know, ladies, this is what I want you to go home and look at. I want to take a look at your house, and I want you to start seeing it from these eyes. What do I need to do to construct an environment and an atmosphere in this home that is, watch this, pleasing to my husband? Pleasing to my husband? Yeah, like the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about the married woman who, you know what? She lives to please her husband. Now, watch this. Home for a husband is big. Remember, he's out working. Okay, so at the end of him working a hard day, you know what he wants to do? Come home. Okay, he's worked hard all day because he's the one working. And he wants to come home. I mean, the basic elementary things of life. Help us, Lord. He's out working because God made him the provider. I'm going to keep saying this till some of you nod, all right? He's out working. He's working hard. He's providing for the family. He comes home. Now, there's a handful of things a man wants when he comes home. And it's not tough. But he needs these things. Home ought to be a place of peace. Okay, he's dealt with junk all day out in the workplace. He's dealt with the world. He's dealt with problems and complications. I mean, there's no job that's an easy job. Not in this day and age. He's scrambling and working hard to provide for his wife, provide for his children. He got up early. He's coming in late. And you know what he wants? Listen to me. Peace. He wants peace. That's what he wants. Wives, is your home, have you created an environment of peace? Okay? There's a lot of men in this world that when they get off work, and by the way, they've worked hard too, and they're exhausted too, and they're tired too. They would rather go to a bar than to their house. And sometimes ladies are like, well, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with him. He's a lousy husband. I got to ask you something, ma'am. Why would he want to go to a stinky bar with the type of people that hang out there than rather than come home? Usually the thing that we want to point at that's wrong with the other person, if we'd look at it, we could see that maybe there's a reason. And by the way, men, don't go to the bar. Go home. But you know what he wants? Peace. Peace. Well, but things haven't gone well today, and I need to talk to him about that. Then you talk to him about it, but not the minute he walks in the door. And by the way, excuse me, ma'am, but it shouldn't be every night. I understand sometimes something's going to break. And you know what? Gentlemen, that's our job. And he may grumble about it, but the honest truth is, you know, that's what helps makes us feel needed. Don't break stuff on purpose, but we don't want to feel that needed, but men like to come to the rescue. They like to fix stuff, okay? But you know what a man don't want to come to home to? I mean, he's worked, he's tired, he's exhausted, and now he's got to come in and he sees you, and there you are waiting. And he can just see already the smoke coming out of your ears, a wild look in your eye, and he's thinking, there ain't going to be no peace tonight. Now, sometimes problems happen. Sometimes the kids have become demon-possessed and you fought with them all day. And guess what, Daddy? Sometimes there's just problems. Problems come up. I get it. Things break. Problems come up. But if that's happening every day, then somebody needs to have a family meeting. Okay? All right? Because, ma'am, you either need to get to somebody, an aged woman, to help you to teach your children and help you in your child-rearing skills. Are you listening to me? Right. Need to get some instruction. By the way, you need to toughen up some. You don't get to be the nice person all day long and then let daddy have to come home and beat him every night. Amen. Growing up, I was probably more scared of my mom than I was my dad. Okay. All right. You know why? Mom would say this. Dad's going to be home in 30 minutes. Get the house straightened up. And my dad wasn't a hard guy to get to live with. But you know what? She wanted him to walk in and be pleased to be home. Okay? I mean, when he comes in the door, the kids ought to go running for him. Daddy, daddy, daddy. I mean, make dad coming home a big deal. You know the kids that do that? The kids that are excited to see the dad are usually being raised by the wife that's excited to see the husband. I mean, daddy coming home is a big deal. Okay? When he gets in the house, you know what? Just sit down. Let me get you something to drink. Preacher, you do realize this is 2017. Yeah, I'm kind of stuck in 1611. Sweet tea, excellent, excellent. All right. You say, well, he's diabetic. Remember, he's got the term life insurance policy that I told him to get. Peace. You know what the average man, honestly, he just wants peace. Okay? He don't want to come home and argue. He'd rather not come home than have to come home and argue. He'd rather not come home and listen to griping and complaining and criticism. He'd rather not come home than be nagged. Okay? Make your husband want to come home. Peace. Peace. He had to walk in the door and open the door and, oh my goodness, that smells good. What'd you make? Okay? I mean, learn to make his favorite meals. Find out what his favorite meals are, okay? All right. You do that on a regular basis, you know what? He was here last Wednesday night. He's going to take you out to eat from time to time. We're talking about being keepers at home, a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place that is pleasing to come home to. All right? One thing we decided, me and my wife together, is that home was going to be a little place, little touch of heaven. We're not going to have screaming and arguing in our house. We're not going to have arguing in our house. We're not even going to do yelling in our house. You know, sometimes I'd tell Tabitha, go get Hannah. Hannah's upstairs. Hannah! And you know what the parents say? I could have done that. I didn't tell you to yell at your sister or yell for your sister. I told you to go get her. You know what we produce? An atmosphere of calm. I mean, calm. Home's a place where you come in to relax, to rejuvenate, to be refreshed, to be fed, to talk about the day and interact and enjoy each other's company and share funny stories and laugh, pray together, love God together. Enjoy each other. Hugs and kisses that all the kids are off to bed. And by the way, I believe in bedtime. Amen? Because then there's mommy daddy time. Amen? Send them off to bed. How early should we do it? As early as you can get by with. Send them off to bed. Yeah, I believe in bedtime. What about when the girls get a little older? Then you send them to bed at their bedtime. The children get older, though, you send them to bed at their bedtime. And you tell them, you know what, you can take a book. Oh, man, I'm already like 8. I don't need to be going to bed this early. Well, here's your choices. You can go to bed, turn off the light, go to sleep, or you can stay up till 9 o'clock and you can read, but you are going to bed. Amen. You guys ready for this? Amen. You know why? Because mom and dad need some time. All right. Is this making sense to you? I want to, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, as we take our theme, A Heart for Home, I want you to rededicate yourself to the marriage that God's given you. If every wife will take the message tonight and listen to it online or get a copy of it, go over it, over it, over it, and begin to make real changes. If every husband will get last Wednesday night service and listen to it and make real changes, I think you know what you'll find, that God takes your heart and begins to really mend them together. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll use the teaching of the Bible, dear God, to help us. Lord, I pray, dear God, in the face of everything in this culture that's attacking the precepts and the principles of God's word, Lord, that once again you'll help us to have a revival in our churches when it comes to marriage and to the home, to child rearing, to the family. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we get those things situated and sorted out, and Lord, get the blessing of God and the anointing of God upon our own individual homes, I pray, Lord, that you will then allow that sweetness to come and permeate the Church of Jesus Christ, because the family of God is just made up of families. And the church house is just made up of husbands and wives and children and grandchildren. And I pray, Lord, that as we are obedient to your words, Lord, not only will it change our homes, but it'll change our church. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name.